In between milking the herd, feeding the sheep, mucking out the winter stables, and surreptitiously EMPing every police bot on the farm into the electronic afterlife, it took Joe a couple of days to get round to running up his toy on the household fabricator. It clicked and whirred to itself like a demented knitting machine as it assembled the gadgets he'd ordered. A modified crop sprayer with double-walled tanks and hoses, an air rifle with a dart loaded with a potent cocktail of tubocurarine and atorphine, and a breathing mask with its own oxygen supply. Maddie made herself scarce, puttering around the control room, but mostly disappearing during the daytime, coming back to the house after dark to crawl, exhausted, into bed. She didn't seem to be having nightmares, which was a good sign. Joe kept his questions to himself. It took another 5 days for the small holding's power field to concentrate enough juice to fuel up his murder weapons. During this time, Joe took the house off-net in the most deniable and surreptitiously plausible way, a bastard coincidence of squirrel-induced cable fade and a badly shielded alternator on the backhoe to do for the wireless chit-chat. He'd half expected Maddie to complain, but she didn't say anything. Just spent more time away in Outer Cheswick or Lower Gruntlingthorpe or wherever she'd taken to going. Finally, the tank was full. So Joe girded his loins, donned his armor, picked up his weapons, and went to do battle with the dragon by the pond. The woods around the pond had once been enclosed by a wooden fence, a charming copse of old-growth deciduous trees, elm and oak and beech growing uphill, smaller shrubs nestling at their ankles in a green skirt that reached all the way to the almost stagnant waters. A little stream fed into it during rainy months, under the feet of a weeping willow. Children had once played here, pretending to explore the wilderness beneath the benevolent gaze of their parental control cameras. That had been long ago. Today, the woods really were wild. No kids, no picnicking city folks, no cars. Badgers and wild koipu and small frightened wallabies roamed the parching English countryside during the summer dry season. The water drew back to expose an apron of cracked mud, planted with abandoned tin cans and a supermarket trolley of pre-Cambrian vintage, its GPS tracker long since shorted out. The bones of the technological epoch poked from the treacherous surface of the fossil mud bath, and around the edge of the mimsy puddle, the stage trees grew. Joe switched on his jammer and walked in among the spear-shaped conifers. Their needles were matte black and fuzzy at the edges, fractally divided, the better to soak up all the available light. A network of taproots and lacy black grass-like stuff covered the ground around them. Joe's breath wheezed noisily in his ears, and he sweated into the airtight suit as he worked, pumping a stream of colorless, smoking liquid at the roots of each ballistic trunk. The liquid fizzed and evaporated on contact. It seemed to bleach the wood where it touched. Joe carefully avoided the stream. This stuff made him uneasy. As did the trees. But liquid nitrogen was about the one thing he'd been able to think of that was guaranteed to kill them stone dead without igniting them. After all, they had cores that were made of gun cotton, highly explosive, liable to go off if you subjected them to a sudden sharp impact or the friction of a chainsaw. The tree he'd hit on creaked ominously, threatening to fall sideways, and Joe stepped round it, efficiently squirting at the remaining roots, right into the path of the distraught farm.
"My holy garden of earthly delights! My forest of the imaginative future! My delight! My trees! My trees! My trees!"
Eyestalk shot out and over, blinking down at him in horror as the farm reared up on 6 or 7 legs and pawed the air in front of him.
"Destroyer of saplings! Earth mother rapist! Bunny-strangling vivisectionist!"
"Back off," said Joe, dropping his cryogenic squirter as he reached for his air gun. The farm came down with a ground-shaking thump in front of him and stretched eyes out to glare at him from both sides. They blinked, long black eyelashes fluttering across angry blue irises.
"How dare you?" demanded the farm. "My treasured treelings!"
"Shut the fuck up," Joe grunted, shouldering his gun. "Think I'd let you burn my holding when that rocket launched? Stay the fuck away," he added as a tentacle began to extend from the farm's back.
"My crop,"
it moaned quietly.
"My exile! 6 more years around the sun, chained to this well of sorrowful gravity, before next the window opens. No brains for baby Jesus. Defenestrator, we could have been so happy together if you hadn't fucked up. Who set you up to this, rat lady?"
It began to gather itself, muscles ripping under the leathery mantle atop its leg cluster. Joe shot it. Tubocurarine is a muscle relaxant. It paralyzes skeletal muscles, those that connect bones, move limbs, and sustain breathing. Atorphine is a ridiculously strong opiate, 1,200 times as potent as heroin. Given time, a farm, with its alien adaptive metabolism and consciously controlled proteome, might engineer a defense against the atorphine. But Joe dosed his dart with enough to stun a sperm whale, and he had no intention of giving the farm enough time. It shuddered and went down on one knee as he closed in on it, a serrette raised.
"Why?"
it asked plaintively, in a voice that almost made him wish he hadn't pulled the trigger.
"We could have gone together."
"Together?" he asked.
Already the eye stalks were drooping. The great lungs wheezed effortfully as it struggled to frame a reply.
"I was going to ask you,"
said the farm, and half its legs collapsed under it with a thud like a baby earthquake.
"Oh, Joe, if only..."
"Maddie?"
he demanded, nerveless fingers dropping the tranquilizer gun. A mouth appeared in the farm's front, slurred words at him from familiar-seeming lips, words about Jupiter and promises. Appalled, Joe backed away from the farm. Passing the first dead tree, he dropped the nitrogen tank. Then an impulse he couldn't articulate made him turn and run back to the house, eyes almost blinded by sweat or tears. But he was too slow, and when he dropped to his knees next to the farm, the emergency pharmacopoeia clicking and whirring to itself in his arms, he found it was already dead.
"Bugger," said Joe, and he stood up, shaking his head. "Bugger!"
He keyed his walkie-talkie.
"Bob, come in, Bob."
"Raoul?"
"Mama's had another breakdown. Is the tank clean, like I asked?"
"Yep."
"Okay. I got her backup tapes into office safe. Let's get to Ankh warmed up for her, and then shift to Tractor down here to muck out this mess."
That autumn, the weeds grew unnaturally rich and green down in the north paddock of Armitage End.